The scripture reading is Ezekiel chapter 47, verses 1 through 5. Then he brought me back to the door of the house, and behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house toward the east from the house faced east. And the water was flowing down from under, from the right side of the house, from south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gate by way of the gate that faces east. And behold, the water was trickling from the south side. When the man went out toward the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he led me through the water, water reaching the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reaching the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reaching the loins. Again, he measured 1,000 and it was a river that I could not ford. For the water had risen enough water to swim in, a river that could not be forded. Amen. Senior pastor will deliver the fourth of the message entitled, God Measures Our Faith.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of over 9,000 branch churches in Korea and all over the world, and local sanctuary members, those who are attending the service on the internet all over the world, children of Sunday School, GCN, and Manmin TV viewing audiences, this is the fourth session in the series on God Measures Our Faith. In the last session, I talked about the cases where people are outside of the boundary of salvation. People remain outside of the boundary of salvation, first, because they do not accept the Lord after hearing the gospel. Secondly, they attend church but do not gain faith, even as small as a mustard seed. Thirdly, they don't know the truth. And fourthly, they continue to consciously commit sins, knowing the truth. The fundamental reason why people cannot receive salvation is sins. The God of love does not immediately punish sinners. He gives them many chances. What then are the kinds of sins people commit that keep them outside of the boundary of salvation? Let's deeply consider this based on the Bible. I hope you will understand this very clearly so that you will not lose faith after gaining the faith to receive salvation. You should be on alert about sins so that you will not mistakenly think that you have received salvation. Brothers and sisters, those who do not accept the Lord as the Savior cannot receive salvation. It is because nobody but the Lord can pay the redemption price for the sins of the mankind. So they cannot be forgiven of their sins without accepting the Lord. Furthermore, if this is the case, they will definitely receive the punishment of death according to the law of the spiritual realm that says that the wages of sin is death. They have to pay the price for the original sin inherited from Adam and the sins they committed themselves. They will be questioned concerning the sin of not believing in the Lord. This is showing total disrespect for God the Father who created man. It is the greatest sin of all. But even those who have become children of God by accepting the Lord can have very different results according to how they lead their lives of faith. Today there are many places where a blind man leads a blind man by saying that you can be saved just by calling out Lord, Lord. And you must never be deceived by such a remark. In Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, who is in heaven, will enter." Those who say, Lord, Lord, are the ones who know and say they believe in the Lord. And Jesus clearly says that not all these people will enter into heaven. It means those who say with their lips, Lord, Lord, and I believed in the Lord, but do not practice the will of God, cannot enter heaven. In Matthew 7:23, Jesus said about these people, "And then I will declare to them I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. What is the lawlessness here? 1 John 3:4 says, everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Lawlessness is any act that is against the word of God. So lawlessness is to disobey all the words of God that tell us not to do, and to cast away certain things, and to do and to keep other things. If God tells us to do something, we have to do them, but they don't. And if they don't keep the things that God tells us to keep, they are all sins. When people accept the Lord, God forgives of all their past sins. Even though they are red like crimson, they will be cleaned white as snow. But if they practice lawlessness again, namely, if they commit sins after they are forgiven of sins, Jesus stated that they might not be saved. Then you might wonder, God is the God of forgiveness, and does that mean God's love has limitations? Of course not. God's love has no limitations. God keeps on forgiving again and again. It's just that even though they received salvation, if they commit such a grave sin or if they keep on committing sins beyond the limit, the enemy, devil, and Satan will bring accusation against them saying, how can he be a child of God? How can he be a believer? Satan will say he is not a believer. God is love itself, but at the same time, he is a just God. Namely, he keeps the law himself, and thus, if the enemy, devil, and Satan make accusations based on the law of the spiritual realm, he has to accept it. He can do everything with his authority, but he doesn't say, oh, he's my child, and I will just save him, no matter what. He cannot do that. At a point, he cannot help but turn over his beloved children to the enemy, devil, and Satan. Therefore, we must not commit any sin, but especially, we must never commit sins that are related to salvation. If it did, we have to repent immediately and turn back. If you read the Bible, when I was in the 80s, when I was reading through the Bible from the Genesis through the Revelation, whatever, actually there was nothing. There was nothing I didn't keep. That is why I went into spirit so quickly. And what is the reason that God gives me this kind of aurora-like lights? It proves that God considers, when God considers me, that there is no blemish or spot. And that is why he's surrounding me with these lights. And I think all of you have taken the photos of these aurora-like lights with your cell phones. In my residence also, on Saturday, there is these aurora-like lights on the fourth and fifth floors. If it did, we have to repent immediately and turn back. But the problem is, there are sins for which you cannot repent. From now, let me talk about the sins which are directly related to salvation that may cause you to lose your salvation. Let me explain the main idea, and I will get into the details and examples later. Dear brothers and sisters, not all sins are the same. Some sins are relatively light and they can be forgiven immediately upon repentance, while other sins are heavy and so serious that God says we cannot be saved if we commit such sins. Among these sins that cause the loss of salvation, there are sins leading to death. These sins are more grave sins than sins that deprive of salvation. There are sins that deprive of salvation, but there are more grave sins, and these are sins leading to death. These sins that deprive of salvation, if you repent, you can still be saved. But if you commit the sins leading to death, you cannot repent in the first place. So there is no salvation. So that is why you have to have clear distinction between these two sins. So you must never commit sins leading to death. Because if you do, it is just like a death sentence. Suppose some drivers, they don't know any traffic law. And what will happen to them? When they get the license, they have to study the basic rules of traffic. And if they get caught, if they are pulled over by police officers, they can't say, "I didn't know." Sins that deprive of salvation can be forgiven if you repent. But sins leading to death are fearful sins of which you cannot even repent. Let us first delve into sins that deprive of salvation. In the Old Testament, God said that if people commit certain kinds of sins, they have to be killed, or that those sinners are to be cut off from among the people of God. These sins are the sins that deprive of salvation. For example, Exodus 31:15 says, "For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath of complete rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall surely be put to death." So to work on the Sabbath is to violate it. So on the Sabbath, on Sunday, you have to come to the church and worship God and praise Him and pray to Him. But if you are in the world, you will do something else. To violate the Sabbath is a sin that deprives of salvation. Also in Leviticus 18:29, after listing many sins, it says, "For whoever does any of these abominations, those persons who do so shall be cut off from among their people." These sins are the sins that deprive of salvation. In the New Testament, Jesus said about certain sins, they will not enter the kingdom of heaven, or they will not inherit the kingdom of God. These are the sins that deprive of salvation. So in the New Testament, you will find these sins about which Jesus said, they will not enter into kingdom of heaven. They will be cast out in the darkness. They will be gnashing and gnashing of teeth in the darkness. These sins are the sins that deprive of salvation. For example, Galatians 5:19 to 21 says, "Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these." It's not just 15, but it's all things like these, of which I forewarn you, that if you commit these sins, you will not be saved. It's all warned, forewarned in the Old Testament. Just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. If they cannot go to heaven, it means it's hell. And if we think about both Old and New Testament, we can see that the sins that deprive of salvation are the works of the flesh. Works of the flesh are the sins committed in action. God is holy, and God's children have to resemble Him and be holy. God is holy, He's truthful and merciful, and He's perfect, and His holiness itself, and He's full of spiritual love, and He's light itself, and He's our Father. And so God's children, they must resemble Him. If we just harbor sins in heart, it is far from holiness. And if we commit sins in action, it's even further away from holiness. Of course, not all works of the flesh deprive of salvation. For example, both giving a sidelong scowl to a brother and an adultery are works of the flesh. But the gravity of the sin is surely different. Likewise, some works of the flesh deprive of salvation, while other works of the flesh are relatively easily forgiven if you repent and turn away. But what you have to know is that even though it is not a sin that deprives of salvation, if it goes beyond a certain limit, you might lose your salvation because of that. For example, hitting somebody lightly is a work of flesh, and it is not as grave as to deprive you of salvation. But if this work of flesh goes beyond the limit, it can be a sin that deprives you of salvation. It's the same violence, you know, between husband and wife. Please do not be stumbled or get offended by this husband. Suppose the husband, of course they marry each other because they love each other. But when they are living together, they might have some quarrels. Better they don't, but they might have some quarrels or arguments, and so the husband gets angry and he hits his wife. At first it was light, but if it goes on and on, the gravity, that the strength becomes harder, and he might even slap her. And next time it becomes two times, three times. And it is increasing. It should be reduced. And how the husband might, he has to repent and turn away. I'm just talking about unbelievers. Why would the believers do that? I'm talking about unbelievers. And also, even though they are believers, they're just like churchgoers and they don't believe. So the gravity becomes more and more grave. And also, it's same with the wife. She should also humble herself, but she argues back even more strongly, increasingly more strongly. So as the strength of the beating becomes harder, it only, the problem only becomes worse. When I think about the movies in the old times, the movies I watched before I became a believer, also, if I remember these news articles, when these husbands hit their wives, it's like they are treating their wives like animals. And I wonder if they can really treat their animals like that, if they have conscience. Even if they are dogs and pigs. Of course, in case of pigs, they wouldn't hit the pigs because they just eat and they just people eat them. But in case of dogs, what kind of person would hit his dog indiscriminately, like kicking and punching and who would do that? I think I think they wouldn't be able to do that. And they treat their own wives even worse than they would treat animals. So that's what we see on the news. And they hit and they punch and they kick and they even hit their wives with the rod, and they even beat their wives with a chair or something. And there are so many things. And I hear nowadays it's even worse than before, because violence is more prevalent than before. And in some parishes, they were threatening their wives with a knife, you know, threatening them that they would kill them. They put the knife on the neck, and I think they wouldn't hit their dogs like that. And it's even worse than hitting their dogs. Can we understand this situation? I can't really understand it, because I never even just laid a finger on my wife. I didn't even slap her. I couldn't. I never punched her or kicked her or anything, even though I was so angry at times. You should be thankful. You've never been beaten by me for 40 years. And I'm also thankful, because I didn't beat her up, because she never did anything to deserve a beating. But of course, even though the wives do something that deserve a beating, you must never beat your wives. And husbands, please do not say you must never go to mommy church. I hope none of you will say that. So that's what we hope for. We have to love each other, have a happy family. Just do not hit your wife. How can you slap her or punch her or kick her? That is not acceptable. And also the wives, they must never, you should never argue back with so much strength and so much anger. If you are humble, if you are meek, and if you are gentle, then if you are understanding, then if you try to come to an agreement. And the husbands might say, if the wives, they don't argue back so hard, I wouldn't hit my wife. But anyway, hitting is not acceptable. Suppose a married couple go to church together. The husband should care for his wife as he cares for his own body, but he habitually hits her. Of course, hitting the wife a couple of times will not take away his salvation. If he repents with heart and tries to stop this habit, God will forgive him. If he really tries, he can eventually cast away this sin. So it is wrong to hit your wife. So this person realizes this fact, and he tries to stop. And this is an act of faith. He is trying to cast it away. And finally, he will cast it away. And if he goes on, and if he doesn't turn back, if he keeps on committing sins, then it will finally be a sin that will deprive him of salvation. But if he turns back and if he repents, he can be saved. Because the faith is followed by deeds, those who have faith will try to cast away these sins. So they will finally be saved and forgiven and saved. But this husband keeps on hitting his wife. even after attending church for 10 or 20 years or even longer, there is no change in him. Then he might cross the line of salvation. If his spirit departs without repentance, he cannot receive salvation. As said in 1 John 1:6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. This kind of person is a liar who does not practice the truth. They say they have fellowship with him, they love God, but they commit sins. Then it means they are lying. They are a liar. So telling a lie, liar is one of the sins that they cannot receive salvation. And also in the testimony of Angelica, the Lord emphasized as one of the sins depriving of salvation. The first is, the adulterers, and second, idolatry, and third, a liar. It may be in the order may not be right, but there were four things. Of course, there are many more sins, but among them, the Lord emphasized on four things because they are representative sins. Adultery, no salvation. Also the greed. Finally, they will, if they don't cast it away, they will not receive salvation. If they earn a lot of money, they buy many houses, then if they're, what if God calls their spirit tonight? It's no use. Judas Iscariot, he was stealing from the treasury box, and he couldn't be saved. Ananias and Sapphira, they gave to God, but because they cheated God, out of their greed, they couldn't be saved. And also the liars. Of course, there are different kinds of lies. Oh. Suppose you say you watched a movie, you're talking to a friend, and you say you watched a movie last night, but actually you didn't go to the movie. You wanted to brag about the movie that you saw, so you're telling a lie like this, and that kind of thing is not the lie that will deprive you of salvation. If you, also many parents, they say, oh, let's go out for, let us dine out on Saturday. And the son knows very well. He's telling a lie so well. You said we'll dine out together, but you didn't keep your promise. And he says once again that they will dine out on Saturday, but there was something that came up. So one of his friends had a very important business meeting, and so he didn't keep the promise. Then it means he lied. He made a promise, but he didn't keep it, so it means he lied. That kind of lie is not included in the sins depriving of salvation. And only a few people will be saved. So most people will not receive salvation if that is the case, if that is a sin depriving of salvation. But so what is this liar? These liars means they keep on sinning because they walk in the darkness and they don't believe in the Lord Jesus properly. Some people say, even though they say they are believers, they say there is salvation in other religions too. outside Jesus Christ. So we should all unite together. All the religions, they have to have peace. Where in the Bible does it say so? In Old Testament, New Testament, where is it? We must never have anything to do with any of the idolaters. And these are the liars. They teach this falsehood. And they don't practice the truth. It means he does not fear God and he does not believe in heaven and hell. If he fears God, he cannot do that. He has to keep God's word. That is why he does not circumcise his heart, but just keeps his evil. God does not save such a person as faith. And so God cannot save him. He did not prepare the holy garments, and he cannot enter heavenly kingdom. And there are many kinds of lies, lies that can be forgiven and that cannot be forgiven, and there are so many kinds of lies, but just in just one lie, and we have to consider their heart. It is so abominable in the sight of God, those who are telling lies. In order for us to be saved, we have to have the holy garment. And without the holy garment, they will be cast out. In the seven-year wedding banquet, we have to have the holy garment. If we don't have them, we won't even be invited. What is this holy garment? What is this holy garment to have to go into a banquet of God? It is our holiness. If you are not holy, we cannot be invited. Garment, clothes, spiritually refers to a heart of man. It means it's dirty, impure. They tell a lie. And these people don't have holy garments, so they won't be invited. So they won't be saved. And they will fall down in the 7-year tribulation. If such a work of flesh is accumulated, the wall of sin standing between God and him will become increasingly thicker. In a severe case, his conscience might be seared as with hot iron and be controlled by Satan. You know, these husbands, they trample on their wives, kick her and punch her, and his conscience is seared as with hot iron. It means he doesn't have any conscience. If he has any little bit of conscience, he cannot do that. He cannot even do that to just a dog. But if he will do that to his own wife, how can he beat her like that? In this kind of case, even though he attends church, even though he is a deacon or elder, can he be saved? Of course not. On the contrary, however, even if he is in depriving of salvation, he can receive salvation if he really repents and turns away. Even if he commits such a sin, if he really repents and turns away, he can receive salvation. God does not judge us at once, but forgives us again and again, and he gives us chances considering the measure of our faith. Otherwise, how many of us would be able to receive salvation? If he repents, he keeps on forgiving us again and again. That is why we can receive salvation. Without his forgiveness, how many of us can actually receive salvation? For example, not just the first and second level of faith, but those in the beginning of third level of faith might do some works of the flesh. So in the third level of faith, you don't commit any works of the flesh. That is why you are in the third level of faith. If you commit works of the flesh, it means you are still in the first or second level of faith. So being in the third level, you don't commit any works of the flesh. But even in the third level, In the beginning stage, there are sometimes some works of the flesh. You might think the third level of faith is when you cast away all works of the flesh. Yes, they don't commit grave works of the flesh, like fornication and drunkenness, but they might commit light works of the flesh, such as speaking with some frustration or giving a sidelong scowl at somebody. In the churches today, being elders and leaders, they get drunk. And they still smoke and so on. They are just churchgoers. They are elders, but they are not really real elders. You know, they pretend they are not doing it in the church, but they hide the fact. And if they have faith, they can't do that. It means they don't have any faith, and yet they became elders of the church of churches. But even if they commit works of the flesh, if they repent and try not to do it again, God forgives them. So if they repent and they try to cast them off, and finally they will cast off. If little children who have just learned to use the bathroom make mistakes and have accidents, is there any parent who would not forgive them? Suppose maybe if they turn 3 or 4, they might make a mistake and wet themselves, wet their pants or something. Will the parents scold them so much, punish them for that? It's the same with God. Even though they might commit some sins in the process of changing into holy children of God, God does not discard them right away. Some believers commit sins that may deprive salvation due to weak faith, but they repent with the heart. They don't just repent, but they keep on praying to cast away those sins with the help of the Holy Spirit. This is Christian life, to cast away sins one by one. This is considered the deed of faith in the sight of God. Because they have faith, they cast away sins. They don't just repent, but they keep on praying to cast away those sins with the help of the Holy Spirit. God shows His compassion on such people. So in the first and second level of faith, they still have works of the flesh. They can still be saved because God considers their faith and their deeds of their effort. But those who are in the third level of faith, if they do the works of the flesh that can be committed by only first and second level of faith, it is considered betrayal. They have come into third level of faith because they have faith, but they go back to first and second level of faith. It is like a betrayal. It means they trample on the word of God. God says, you ignored me, you looked down on me. To sum this up, if you commit the works of the flesh that take away salvation, you cannot receive salvation. But if you repent and turn away thoroughly, God opens the way for you to receive salvation. Of course, in the beginning, everybody commits works of the flesh. But as you cast away these sins one by one, in the second level, you cast away all works of the flesh and you go into the third level of faith. So in the third level, you don't commit any works of the flesh to deprive you of salvation. But in the first and second level of faith, God considers your effort and He forgives you, even though you sometimes commit works of the flesh in the first and second level of faith. But if you, Christian life is to be progress in your, to increase in your faith. But if you don't have this kind of effort, if you don't have this kind of deed of faith, you cannot receive salvation because you don't have any faith. One of the robbers who were crucified along with the Lord, one of them was saved. He went to paradise. He showed his faith. If he didn't die on the cross, he would have led a good Christian life. On the contrary, even though they are not sins that deprive of salvation, if you just keep on committing them, you might not receive salvation. Next, I will explain about the sins leading to death. What did I explain? Did I explain about the sins leading to death? Are you getting confused? I just explained the sins depriving of salvation. And now, we're going to get into the sins leading to death. So you should have a clear distinction between these two. There are sins depriving of salvation, while there are sins leading to death. If you have a clear discernment between these two, you can be a cell leader or small group leader. And you are also qualified to become a choir member. I just explained that the works of the flesh that take away salvation can be forgiven if you really repent. You should be confident. I explain again and again. So this time, please understand it correctly. And I'll explain about this in more than 10 sessions. So I'll explain about them in detail so you should have clear understanding. Some people, they are deacons, deaconesses, senior deaconesses, and elders. They don't even understand the law of God, and it doesn't make sense. And they don't even discern between the sins leading to death and sins not leading to death and sins not depriving of salvation and depriving of salvation. So it doesn't really make sense. And you don't even understand these things and you become a teacher. But there are some works of the flesh for which you cannot receive the spirit of repentance, even though you try to repent. So you cannot repent of them. Those who commit these works of the flesh, they know you have to. You know you have to repent. You will go to hell. But you try to repent, but you can't. Just shedding a little bit of tears is not really repentance. Even unbelievers, they can shed tears and they have runny nose. If they just get a cold or something, they will shed tears. And if you yawn, you have tears. And if you have tears, you also have runny nose. So even unbelievers, when their parents-in-law die, this daughter-in-law will weep so much. But when they talk with each other, it's all pretense. It's all just an act. They pretend to be weeping. And some people, they just put their spit on their eyes because they didn't have any tears running. You can weep like that also. And just look at the actors. They cry so well. Sorrowfully also. And in repentance, you can also have that kind of act. But of course, when you try to repent, But does God accept it? Does God accept it as true repentance? He doesn't. So if you commit the works of the flesh leading to death, repentance is not something like that. You really tear your heart because you are in such a great torment. And you feel like, how could I commit this kind of sin before the Holy Father God? And you really feel like you are tearing, you are rending your heart. And you feel so sorry and you can't even look up in the sky. And you are in such a great torment. And you are in the great mourning and pain. And that kind of repentance will not stop within 1 or 2 hours. It will continue day after day until, and it has to continue until you cast the sinful nature itself out. So God can accept it as true repentance. But if you commit these sins leading to death, they cannot repent like this because it means their heart is hardened as much because they have that much sinful nature. They're evil. They know they must not commit sins, but they still commit sins. Even though they appear to be gentle, but their heart is not. So that's why they cannot repent like that. They can repent only when they have conscience. Only with the goodness. So when you hear something good, their heart is touched and they shed tears right away. And some others, even though they hear such good things, they don't shed any tears. And these people, they must repent also. They must think about how hardened their heart is. How stubborn their heart is. You shouldn't say, oh, I didn't commit any sins and I don't have anything to repent of. You should repent of your hardened heart. If you don't shed any tears, even if you hear something very good, there is a reason that they were not loved enough in their childhood or something. There are many kinds of reasons, some deficiencies of the body. So their tears are dried. Also, there could be some social problem, usually in the process of a growth. So their heart is hardened and the tears are dried and it is not good according to the truth. So they have a great pride. They are arrogant and there are many things. So all these things are not good in the sight of God. So you have to repent and you have to get rid of your pride so goodness will come into your heart. Because you cannot repent, you cannot be forgiven either. These sins are sins leading to death. They also belong to the category of sins taking away salvation, but they are more grave sins. 1 John 5:16 says, if anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will for him give life to those who commit sin not leading to death. So in other words, it means there are sins leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. So if he shall ask, and if his brother is committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will for him give life to those who commit sin not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should make a request for this. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should make a request for this because it is useless. Even though they are your parents, your children, there is no use in asking if they committed sins leading to death. That's why God says, I do not say that he should make a request for this. As written, the sins leading to death cannot be forgiven even though you ask for it. That is why God tells us not to take a request for this. Let me give you three representative examples of sins leading to death. First, it is blaspheming and speaking against the Holy Spirit. Blaspheming and speaking against the Holy Spirit, there is no salvation in it. There were sins depriving of salvation. If you repent of them, you can be forgiven. But in this case, you cannot repent. There is no forgiveness for these sins. It is blaspheming and speaking against the Holy Spirit. Matthew 12, 31 and 32 says, "Therefore I say to you, any sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven people." The Lord says to us, any sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven people. Any sin shall be forgiven if they repent. Also blasphemy against people. Oh, you say something bad to other people. It is evil, but you can still be forgiven. But blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, the Son of Man refers to Jesus. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, he shall be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, he shall not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. So there is no forgiveness forever. It's not something that can be that you can repent of. Speaking against the Holy Spirit. Why is it with the Son of Man you can be forgiven? If you speak against Jesus, you can be forgiven. But why is it that you can not be forgiven if you speak against the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of God. So it is same as speaking against God Himself. If you speak against the Lord God Almighty, of course there is no salvation. So, if you worship idols so much, they cannot be healed, even though they attend church for a long time, because their ancestors mocked God and despised God for such a long time. That is why they can't be healed. It's the same with the Holy Spirit. If you speak against the Holy Spirit, it's the same as speaking against God Himself. So blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, there is no forgiveness. But why is it that you can be forgiven if you speak against the Son of Man? In their sight, Jesus, He was not the King. He was not the Savior. They didn't know that He was the Son of God. He had our body, human body. So they were considering Him as just a man. And if they speak against Him thinking He is a man, in that case, they can be forgiven. Is it understandable? But the Holy Spirit is not a man. He is God. And Holy Spirit, He doesn't have this human body. So, and wherever Holy Spirit works, there is the power of God. When the Lord was driving out demons and manifesting the power of God, it says the Holy Spirit worked with Him. So the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, there is no salvation. There is no forgiveness, either in this age or in the age to come. That is why I always, since the opening of this church, I always tell you, emphasize, that you must never blaspheme the Holy Spirit. The second kind of sins leading to death is to crucify the Lord again, to put Him to open shame. Let me elaborate on the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Easily said, in 98 and 99, those who blasphemed me, what happened to them? Most of them, they had cancers and they died of cancers and lung diseases, and their businesses failed and their families were broken. And they left faith. Why? Because it becomes blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Because even though they don't know about me, they know that God is with me and there are signs and wonders accompanied. How can a man perform such signs and wonders? How can a man perform the part of God? Just last week, you saw this aurora lights. I believe all of you have taken cell phones. And unless you, I don't want to believe at all. And if you try to take them, you would have taken them. So if you have taken any photos with your cell phones or your cameras, please raise your hands. Almost 100%. There are people who didn't raise their hands. And when I asked them, they have a cell phone, but they don't know how to take photos with their cell phones. And some others, they don't have any cell phones. But if you have cell phones and those who know how to take photos, they all have taken photos. In my residence also, fourth and fifth floors is covered with auroras. Oh, that is from the residence. And there is a light that is coming out. Fourth and fifth floor. Sometimes some people see with their own eyes. And the signs and wonders that are manifested through me, they are all works of the Holy Spirit. And if they blaspheme these works, so that is why it is a blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Peter, he didn't perform these many signs and wonders discreetly, but even then, when Ananias and Sapphira told a lie to Peter, it is that they cheated the Holy Spirit and they didn't receive salvation. They were cheating Peter, but it says they were cheating the Holy Spirit. And in 98 and 99, those who judged me condemned me and they made me a con man. Does it make sense? Especially your husbands and your family members. And most of them died of cancers and all those things. And they had to leave God completely. And their businesses went bankrupt and there are so many problems. It's because of their own evil. They do these evil things. They don't have anything with me. They don't have any enmity or animosity with me. I've just given to people. They don't have any ill feelings, hard feelings against me, and they don't even know me, and they pass this kind of judgment and condemnation on me. How ridiculous. They don't even know me. And even the broadcaster, they finally made an apology because they broadcast something that was not true. And if that kind of broadcasting was true, how could I go to other countries right away? Right from the next year, I was, how can my writings, how my essays appear on the major daily newspapers every week? I should have been put into jail. Maybe I could have been released by now because it's been already 12 years. There are so many crimes that they said I committed. And so I would have received a great sentence. But because I was innocent, the police station, they didn't ever call me or anything. They never questioned me because they know I was innocent. And those, your husbands, your parents, and your family members, they passed judgment and condemnation, and they condemned me, and they spoke of me like a criminal, and that is all blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Because if seeing all these works, signs and wonders, these are the works of the Holy Spirit. So that is why you must never judge or condemn. If you judge, you will condemn. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 to 6 says, "For in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucified to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame." I will explain about these words, expressions, later in more detail. The third sin leading to death is to willfully commit sins again and again. They know it is sin, but they willfully commit sins. So there is a condition. They have tasted the heavenly gift. And so they are not talking about the first and second level of faith. It's about those who know, they don't know the truth. But they know the truth. They have experienced the Holy Spirit. So they have the faith. And even then, knowing it is sin, they willfully commit sins. In this case, it is a sin leading to death. Especially, among the works of the flesh, the adultery is the... some students say, the foreplay, the petting, they consider these sins, these things not sin, but they had this physical contact and they didn't know it was a work of the flesh. Hebrews 10:26-27 says, "For if we go on sinning willfully, after receiving the knowledge of the truth," receiving the knowledge of the truth, they know, "for if we go on sinning, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins." God doesn't accept their repentance. There is no sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. So it is these sins leading to death are committed by those who say they believe rather than those who have weak faith. The sins depriving of salvation are more often committed by those in the first and second levels of faith, while the sins leading to death are usually committed by those in the third level of faith or those who are supposed to be in the third level of faith. For example, a person in the third level of faith might be tempted for a moment and commit an evident work of the flesh. This is to crucify the Lord all over again. Also, if he commits this sin not just once but continually, it is the case where he willfully commits sins, knowing the truth. If a person at the third level of faith commits such an evident work of the flesh, it means that he did not dwell in the Word of God up until this sin was committed. If you live according to the Word, such a thing will never happen. You wouldn't be deceived. You wouldn't be deceived. Because you don't live by the word. You don't pray. And even though you pray, you just do as a formality. Even though it seems you're working faithfully, it is for other people to see. You don't work for God. You don't work with your heart, with your spirit. You just want to show to other people. There must be a reason for that. Perhaps he did not circumcise his heart, but took the worldly things, or he stopped praying and neglected his duties. So as a result of ignoring the word of God over a period of time, he eventually came to accept the temptation. So if you commit sin leading to death, you will have many more temptations. And it'll be so good to be tempted. If you are tempted once, it'll be easier to be tempted second time, third time. If you get tempted by any chance once, then he will have to repent so thoroughly by like a fasting for 1 week or something. But they don't do that. That is why they are tempted again the second time, third time. Also, if a person who is supposed to be in the third level of faith stays in the first or the second level of faith for a long time and commits works of the flesh continually, then this too can be considered as sins leading to death. If a person is not a new believer who does not know the truth, but he is supposed to have faith, and if such a believer still commits works of the flesh, it implies that the sins committed are grave. If you do not cast off works of the flesh but keep on committing them, or if the Lord calls your spirit when you have not repented of these sins, you cannot receive salvation. In the next session, we are going to talk about the sins depriving salvation and sins leading to death in greater detail. So today this was just a general idea. So from next week, I will talk about these sins in detail. Let me conclude the message. Dear brothers and sisters, is there anybody who thinks like, it seems so difficult to receive salvation, there are so many kinds of sins? But actually, it's so easy to receive salvation. And these kinds of sins, it's just so easy to understand. I never drive, so of course, it is hard for me to drive. Also, there are many traffic laws, traffic rules, and I never studied them, so I don't know. But if I want to do that, I can study. If I just study driving, learn driving, and study the rules, I can easily learn them. But I don't want to do that, so I don't pay attention to them. So it might be complicated. But if you really love God, if you keep God's word, there's nothing that is difficult. But salvation is simple and easy if you just obey God's word that tells us to do, not do, cast away, and keep certain things. It seems salvation is difficult because you have the desire to commit sins and still be exempt from the law of God. That kind of people, they have a lot of excuses. And you shouldn't ride a car by just two of you alone, and they don't repent. And they didn't repent because there were three of them. One of them was taxi driver. It's just an excuse. Why would the taxi driver count? There's a man and woman together in one vehicle. Did God say that God didn't say such a thing, you know, like a taxi driver can be excluded, can be included. And it means a woman must never get a cab because it'll be just two of them. Because it'll be two of them, the male taxi driver and a woman. And they want to distort the word of God. They want to just interpret as they like, and they commit sins. And if the, you know, they must know the meaning of God telling them not to be in a vehicle, car, by themselves. At least if they are teenagers or older, they know the meaning of it. That is the beginning of a sin, by riding a car by themselves. Because of that, they come to have physical contact and they commit the more grave sins. Of course, you here would want to cast off such desire quickly. But why doesn't it happen as you wish? It is a result of being born and raised in sins and having been living a life in this sin-filled world with no regard for the law of God. But God the Father does not want to lose even just one soul, and He never gives up on you. He never gives up on you, so why would I? Sometimes I come to have the kind of thought, even just for one second, because it is so sorrowful and it's so tiring at times. I advise them, preach to them again and again, but they commit sins again and send me these repentance letters. And even though I say it's no use to send me any letters, they keep on sending me these letters, and sometimes I get tired, and I don't want to do this anymore. And that kind of desire shouldn't remain. So I think of the Lord. The Lord came for the sinners, not for the righteous. And because of the sinners, He went through such despisement and all the sufferings of the cross. And thinking about those things, I changed my mind in a moment. No, I should never give up on them. Therefore, now you should not have fear, thinking, I committed these many sins, so how can I receive salvation? You should have the faith with which you try to cast off the desire to practice lawlessness. I am preaching these messages every week to lead you to salvation, to lead you to heavenly kingdom. Why would I talk about heaven if that doesn't exist? And also, I've shown you many evidences about heaven and hell. And also recently, through this testimony of Angelica, she doesn't even know me. I don't know her. And how could she have heard everything from the Lord, which is in perfect agreement with what I've been preaching for the last 29 years. God knows what kind of generation this is, and so He pours down the fire of the Holy Spirit on you continually. He washes those who want to resemble God and become His holy children. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will work out your salvation with water, namely the Word of God, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and become purer day by day. Let us pray together, thinking about the message. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you for your love and grace. Let this message become life and faith. Father, let us understand what sins depriving of salvation are, how we can receive salvation, what sins leading to death are. And let us never commit sins leading to death. Lord, thank you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. I pray for the sick. Lay your hands on sick parts and infirmities and receive the prayer for your heart's desires. Father God, lay your hands on them. Show your works transcending space and time. They have sent their photos and prayer requests. Okumha from New Zealand has a tumor in her uterine tumor. Be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Wilson, Theo and Jane Chun of Singapore, let them get a good job and let their house in Malaysia be sold. Let their daughter, Jinin, to be healed of a little growth. Yo Ketsu of Japan, let his father quit smoking and drinking. Let his family be evangelized. Zhang Hong, let them have a good weather on the moving day on May 30th. Osu Chen, cataract and ringing in the ear. Yi Gum, you know, heart disease, arthritis, bad knees, herniated disc. Kim Ok-ki has insomnia, depression, amnesia, and hemorrhoids. Hepatitis C, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Kai Su-chun, high blood pressure. Yi Yong-ho, inflammation in the lungs, inflammation in the large intestine, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Kim Kun-sun, Che Chun-ja, palsy go away. Bak Kum-ja, diabetes, be cleansed. Dan She-ho, after effects of cerebral apoplexy, be healed. Kim Hye-chun, Han Gun-mo, heart disease, heart blood pressure. Wan-wan-ing, tumor in the kidney, pancreas. Chun Beng Chai Wei Su Fan. After effects of cerebral sclerosis. Be healed by the five dollars. Park Myung Su. Let her recover her memory. Let her be able to get the visa to Korea. Shin Eun Ji. Severe coughing and sputum. Ju Jo Jin. Epilepsy, Chen Chen, kidney inflammation, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Kim Yong Ha, left side paralysis. Park Sun Ha, lung tuberculosis. Chun Ru, let her recover eyesight. Kim Myung, be released from the addiction of the internet and cigarettes. Huang Yongul, heart disease, diabetes, be healed. Chun Mi Hua, be healed of athlete's foot and acne. They see Chun. He wants to participate in this year's summer retreat with her husband. Chun Yan, let her get a good shop. Chun Yaming, Sung Chang Bu, let their social status be changed to company employee. Duan Ten Lui, let him grow up as a wise and healthy child. Kim Jung, give her a visa to Korea. Su Hai Dan, let her son Jo Myo Ri be let their problems be resolved with his parents. Park Eun Hee, Chun Wei, Wu Chong Wen, Ho Wan Wan, Liu Wu Chi, Chun Wei Chun, Huang Su Ya, Yang Lina, Li Woi Woi, let them get good grades to get into schools they want. Fang Da Fang, Wei Ke, Liu Li Fang, Che Bong Hong, Bu Xuan, Chun Go, Kim Mi Hua, Han Gum San, Che Yong Nak, Kim Hae Yun, Liu Wan Yang, Duan Jiu Zi, Feng Xi Lan, Huang Jin Hua, Ra O Ki, Kim Yong Hee, Zhang Wan Se, Liu Chai Yun, Sung Wei Chang, Zhang Wei Ting, Dai Wei Chou. Forgive them of their past sins and let the spiritual cords of idolatry be broken. Let them go into a spirit and let their families be evangelized. Father, Lord, thank you. Let their eyes see well, ears hear well. Let them speak well. All the entrance be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Skin diseases go away. High blood pressure, low blood pressure go away. Diabetes go away. All diseases, germs go away. Be cleansed. All the enemy, devil and Satan, darkness go away. Light come. Father, give them spiritual and physical health. Give them peace throughout this week. And protect all the church vehicles and church members' vehicles. And let them make no mistakes while driving. Lord, thank you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.